All within a lowly manger, low a tender babe he lies. See his gentle virgin mother, lull to sleep his infant cries. While the limbs of God incarnate, round with swathing bands she ties. Thus did Christ to perfect manhood in our mortal flesh attain. Then of his free choice he goeth to a death of bitter pain. And as a lamb upon the altar of the cross for us is slain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words are taken from the hymn that we sing in praise of our Savior and of his cross on Good Friday. And indeed, the cross is not far now. Its shadow already cast over the manger at Bethlehem by the martyrdom of the Holy Innocents. But even in the very swaddling cloths of our infant King, we see an image of the ways in which our Savior's hands and feet will be bound on Calvary, and how his lifeless sacred body will be enwrapped in a shroud and placed in the tomb, there to dwell until Easter Sunday. It is that moment towards which we begin to turn now, even in this joyous season, remembering that from the first moments of his earthly life, as St. Paul revealed to us, our Lord's thoughts were priestly. The Apostle says to the Hebrews, quote, "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast taken no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I have come to do thy will, O God, as it is written of me in the roll of the book." King David, likewise in prophecy moved by the Holy Ghost, saw that his descendant, our Lord Jesus Christ, was a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Our Savior became a priest the moment he espoused our human nature in the immaculate womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is unsurprising then that on this Sunday, on the Feast of the Holy Family, his sorrowful parents, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, should find him in the temple, for his sacred and priestly heart never leaves the altar. Our infant King is a priest then already, and so for eternity. But the work of a priest is essentially to bring peace. In all cultures and at all times, the role of a priest is to establish peace between mankind and the divinity. It's not for nothing then that Isaiah hails in prophecy our Blessed Savior as Prince of Peace. He, the one true priest, by the shedding of his blood as an offering of peace to God the Father, will for our sins establish an everlasting peace between God and men. Christ has come, therefore, as a priest. His priestly work will establish peace in our hearts, but also peace in our families. That peace in our families comes at a priestly price. Its price is sacrifice. As we know, as St. Thomas Aquinas explains to us, peace is the result of order. St. Paul explains to the Colossians the order of Christian families, quote, "Wives, be subject to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Whatever your task, work heartily, as serving the Lord and not men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." End quote. We see in the words of the Apostle to the Colossians that there is a natural order established by God. Fathers are to rule over their households as the example of God the Father. They too occupy a certain priestly role, but they are not to dominate their homes. But as all priests, must they as well be peacemakers. They are to love their wives, not be harsh with them. And together in cooperation, both husband and wife are not to discourage their children by provoking them in anger. It is not parents alone that must sacrifice. Children too must sacrifice by denying their self-will, the sacrifice of obedience. As St. Paul said, "Obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord." The same glorious Apostle says to the Ephesians, "All fatherhood is named after God. It is from the epistle we read for the feast and the votive masses of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. St. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood is named in heaven and on earth." Whereas another translation has it, "For whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." The family is the first principle of unity in society, not the individual, contrary to what our society teaches us. Blessed Cardinal Schuster tells us that, quote, "Selfishness does indeed undermine this unity. That is why St. Paul, taking into account the inevitable weaknesses of poor and flawed human nature, immediately adds, as a condition for true domestic and social peace, mutual patience in supporting one another, in imitation of the patience God Himself shows to us." Cardinal Schuster is referencing today's epistle again from Colossians, where the Apostle says, quote, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive." The price of peace is sacrifice. It is the sacrifice especially of our self-will, in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose entire life was one of sacrifice, obedience to his Father, offering himself continually at every moment in preparation for that supreme moment when he would offer his life for the glory of the Father and the redemption of mankind. When our first father, Adam, fell, not only did he lose the friendship of God, but many imperfections were introduced in our nature. Most especially, our passions have become disordered. We war against ourselves constantly, drawn to evil, with a great aversion for good. Our God, in restoring us to life in the saving waters of baptism, emerging us in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he could, if he had willed, he could have taken away those imperfections, the countless moments in our family lives where we have occasions for impatience, anger, misunderstandings. Our Lord refused to do so, the Sacred Council of Trent teaches us, because it is more profitable to us to overcome those moments by patience, as we heard St. Paul say, by compassion, by kindness, by lowliness, by meekness, than it would be simply to be restored to our first order of nature. This Holy Family shows us the way. By practicing each of these little virtues, as St. Francis de Sales calls them, to a heroic degree. The fruit of our redemption grew and ripened in the heart of this Holy Family. Even as he saved the world by nurturing his sacrifice in this family before offering it on the cross, Christ will restore the Church and the world through our families. There is no aspect of our lives that Christ did not sanctify, did not elevate, and for which we cannot turn to him for guidance and strength. Likewise, this Holy Family, there is no moment, no hardship that we know that this family did not also know, no joy, no triumph too, that they did not truly enrich and sanctify by their lives. As the great Pope Leo XIII says, quote, "Those who are of noble birth, may they learn from this family of royal blood how to live simply in times of prosperity, how to retain their dignity in times of distress. The rich may learn that moral worth is to be more highly esteemed than wealth. Workers, if they would but consider the sublime holiness of the members of this domestic fellowship, cannot fail to find some cause for rejoicing in their lot, rather than for being merely dissatisfied with it. In common with the Holy Family, they have to work and to provide for the daily wants of life. Joseph had to engage in trade in order to live. Even the divine hands labored at a worker's calling." Pope Leo XIII continues, "To fathers of families, Joseph was truly the best model of paternal vigilance and care. The Most Holy Virgin, Mother of God, mothers may find an excellent example of love, modesty, resignation of spirit, and the perfecting of faith. And in Jesus, who was subject to his parents, children of the family have a divine pattern of obedience, which they can admire, reverence, and imitate. It was under the loving protection and nourishment of this holy family that the price of our redemption was prepared. As St. Luke says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Our God nourished his human nature under the loving care, protection, and guidance of Mary and Joseph, so much so that we can indeed say that this holy family saved the world, that God chose the family to carry our salvation. It was under its auspices that the price of our redemption was brought forth. Likewise now, each of our families here present this morning must bring forth the same presence of Christ into the world by imitating the Holy Family and consecrating ourselves to the same. It is through our families that the world will be renewed, that Christ will restore the Church once again. Let us invoke them often, therefore, this Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, commending to them our families and our souls. May the peace of Nazareth ever reign in our hearts and in our homes. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.